Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there!
Apparently Adam wants the hoe.
Just splice in money, money, money.
I love a pizza.
Hello and welcome to episode 38 of The Front Three. It's the Q&A special on Saturdays. Joining me as always is Lawrence McKenna.
Favourite episode, love the questions, keep them coming.
Dave O'Brien's also here.
Oh yes, here to drop some bombs.
And
Dave just remembered there's a bomb. Oh yes!
And it's also a pleasure to be joined by Kristen Hennage.
Good evening.
It's good morning, you mean, because it's Saturday, Kristen. Oh. We don't
it's
record
even
this.
Somewhere, though, buddy. That's how the world works.
Oh, take that.
You're revealing the secrets that we record it at the same time as the other one. But enough of that. We've got to move on to the questions.
I definitely didn't say that, in fairness. I mean, you pushed me up the creek there.
We've got to move on to the questions. Dave, I'll come to you first. We've got a question specifically for you. Mr. Mike Smalling. Himself.
Mr. Mike Smalling says, good afternoon, Dave. Oh, you've revealed that we're recording it. Oh, fucking hell, you bastard.
He says, Dave, Dave, do you think that Pochettino could be a good replacement for Louis van Gaal in 2017?
I definitely do. I think he's potentially the one that I'd quite want him, or obviously Pep Guardiola. Pochettino, though, has worked so well with young English players. You know, the job he did at Southampton was brilliant. The style of play he sort of incorporated there. And now at Tottenham, obviously, they look absolutely fantastic. One question, a few question marks about him, whether his squad's big enough that, you know, the players that he's got in his disposal, if, for example, Harry Kane goes down injured, is he good enough at building a squad? But that'll come with age and experience. But right now, they are playing some of the best football I've seen in the Premier League in recent years, and I think they're probably up there with Liverpool in terms of playing the best style. So style-wise, Pochettino would be brilliant. And then Harry Kane's going to come over to United as well. So buy one, get one.
Things are happening. Let's move on to the next question.
I love Dave's correlation between age and squad size. Somehow he reaches 50 and he goes, "Oh fucking hell! I've been through players like for years. This is mental."
He has an epiphany.
It clicks, doesn't it? Another centre back.
Next question.
Let me count these again. 1, 2, 3. Oh my God, there's only 10 of them. Oh God. How long have we been doing this?
The next question, Kristen, is from my own brother, Alex. He wants to know, is Diego Costa's tenure in the Premier League over? We'll come to you, Kristen, because we sort of talked about this on the Wednesday podcast.
Shit, family, move on.
Kristen, what do you reckon? Is Costa's tenure in the Premier League over? Done?
I think it's a tad unfair to reduce it to that just because he threw a bib at someone.
But it's more than that, Kristen. It's the culmination, you know?
You sound like Mourinho now.
Yeah, that's
kind of jilted lover. It's so much more than that. He doesn't even get on with my family. I think what you could say is that maybe his style has been sussed, for want of a better word, and that players are now starting to revel in that physical battle with him because they realise that they can use it against him, you know, and the idea that you can use someone's greatest strength against them is their biggest weakness. People can rile him up during that physical battle and try to get him sent off, and it's not maybe as beneficial a tool to him as it once was, and I think in general Chelsea's struggles are kind of typified by him, and when he's not scoring goals, you're kind of left wondering, well, what else is he doing? Because all the traditional number nines who were in his mould, guys like Shearer and people like that, they did create as well, whereas, to be truthful, Diego Costa isn't much of a creator.
Get out of pass, mate. Get out of pass.
This is the one word. Well, actually, it's technically a two-word answer from each of you. Dave first. Matt Stab wants to know, will Vardy finish as the top scorer in the BPL? And if not, who will?
No, Harry Kane.
Stab, Harry Kane. Kristen.
No, he won't.
Who will?
Harry Kane.
Lawrence.
No, Aguero.
Ooh, I'll say no. Kane.
Oh, love it.
Next session, let's go to you, Lawrence. Let's ask you this one. Do you think what is happening to Chelsea is very similar to the Arsenal side of 94-95, said Club of Kings? I don't remember Arsenal from 94-95 because I was six. Do you?
I was also six, Adam. Wow. But my memory is crystal clear from the time.
Hang on, when's your birthday, Lawrence?
December the 6th, Adam.
Tomorrow. Are you telling me it's tomorrow?
It is tomorrow, Adam. Yeah.
Happy birthday. No, I won't get that spill.
Well, it's not December.
Yeah, how old are you going to be, Lawrence?
I thought we recorded this on a Saturday morning, Adam.
We do, so tomorrow is your...
The fourth wall shattering.
27. I don't know why, but I found Kristen funnier on podcasts.
I think when he's in Tokyo, it's funnier for some reason.
I'll look up the Arsenal team.
27, happy birthday to you.
Or 94, 95?
He said 94-95.
I'll take a look in a second.
Right, let you do your research. I'll get on to the next question. Nicola F, always sending in a good question. He said, will Dejan Lovren stand out under Jurgen Klopp? Dave, he's also put the hashtag Adam wants the hole.
I love the idea that in the background, Adam's girlfriend's listening to him recording this.
But anyway, yeah, apparently Adam wants the whole hashtag. Not quite sure what to make of that, Nicola. Please explain. But anyway, will Dejan Lovren stand out under Jurgen Klopp, Dave?
Yes, he will. I think he'll get confidence. I think that's what Lovren is a player of. When the manager believes in him, he seems to turn over decent performances, like Pochettino at Southampton. When the manager like Brendan Rodgers, who may not be fully confident in the signing, fully confident in his ability, Lovren's confidence goes and he starts making terrible mistakes. So I think he'll do well. You know, is it Sacco that's out injured now with a knee injury, right?
Yeah, and obviously Joe Gomez is out injured as well. I think that means that with Kolo Touré coming into the side, when Skrtel and Lovren are rotated out, then it does look tricky. Adam, I've got an answer. It's basically... From what I understand, there aren't a huge number of parallels. Wikipedia doesn't necessarily...
from your 2 minutes of research.
The sacking of long-serving and highly successful manager George Graham following a bung scandal. I don't know what...
Yes.
This question is implying a lot.
This guy knows something's going on.
So Arsenal endure their most frustrating season in 10 years. They finished 12th in the Premier League, below fine unfancied London rivals Queen Park Rangers and Wimbledon, and also had to endure a loss of Paul Merson for 3 months. Now, I don't feel like Chelsea are going to lose Paul Merson.
No.
Or George Graham.
I think there was a transfer. Basically, I can't remember who moved. Someone moved to a club and they took like a massive cut of the money and they found out. It was the first person that was investigated.
Yeah. I don't know if that's what's going to happen with Mourinho.
We are definitely going to court for this.
The worry is that in that season, four people got relegated. So if it is similar to that season, then Kristen's team finishing 17th does indeed believe they're fucked.
Kristen, we talked about it last week on Wednesday, but Meshal wants to know, is Brendan Rodgers the answer to Newcastle's managerial problems?
Yes, he is.
I love it. So simple.
Kristen, do you seriously think that?
Yeah, no, seriously, I think he is.
I think I can really see that as a good fit. Lawrence, you've got doubts. You've got issues.
What I doubt is currently whether it's a good idea for Brendan Rodgers to make a return to the Premier League so quickly, and how many assholes out there really want to see Brendan.
There was talk he was going to go to Qatar. Which
you don't want him and nobody else can have him.
Classic.
That's basically what's important here.
Dave, Wellesley. Yes. Wellesley wants to know, what do you make of West Ham's dip in form? Is it Bilic's tactics or is it injuries?
No, it's Bilic, isn't it? As a manager. I've told you before, after 11 games, he bottles it. Oh. And this is what's happening at West Ham. They're going to be battling relegation soon. We'll see. We'll all see, boys. The premonition was true.
Lawrence, who will be England
premonition?
Who will be England captain at the 2018 World Cup, says Arteta assist?
Ooh, good question. Will it still be Wayne Rooney at that point? Yes. No, it will not be Wayne Rooney.
Do you not think?
I think it'll be between Chris Smalling,
Harry Kane,
Jordan Henderson.
Oh, Jordan Henderson's a good shout.
And who else will be in that midfield? I think it'll be a midfielder because I think the, you know, that's the best place to have your captain, essentially. It's either going to be Chris Smalling or a midfielder. I'll say Henderson or Smalling.
Interesting. On a sixpence, asks Kristen, what are your thoughts on the youth system in the BPL? Why isn't there more youth coming from the big sides? And what can they do better? It's a big question, but give you a best shot.
Essentially, the problem that you've encountered is that with a lot more free movement through Europe, it means you can essentially take talent from across the continent. So it's really diversified the pool of talent. Equally, when you invest a lot more money in moving that player abroad, moving his family, giving him a subsidized wage that's a more than, say, someone who lives relatively close to the club, I think either intentionally or even unintentionally, you focus more of your efforts on that person and you give them more opportunities to succeed. I think it's something that I've seen happen at a number of academies, and that's definitely one of the problems, I think, as well. Across the board, Europe, as it's become more developed, you've seen a lot more coaches, you've seen a lot more quality coaching undertaken at these different countries. So now their players are getting better. When you get to that kind of peak age of 16, whether you almost hit the level of, are you good enough to start in a professional club? And so it's a culmination of a lot of different things, but essentially I wouldn't entirely blame the Premier League. I think certainly it's contributed slightly with the little bit of reckless spending, particularly in youth players, but there are a number of other kind of factors that have bled into that.
Jeremy AFC says, favourite football boot? Dave, come to you first.
Well, that's a difficult question. I quite like the Adidas World Cup ones. What are they called? The El...
Good one, Dave.
Mundials?
The Mundials.
The
El Mundials, yes.
The old El Mundials.
Buy them now and buy them quick.
Lawrence, what's yours?
I like the F50s. I was given a pair a few years ago, and I've not changed out of them. I'm not a great footballer, but they're very comfortable, and the touch and control with them is fantastic.
Kristen,
have any of you seen the football boots that Harry Redknapp endorsed recently?
What, those ones with the flat end?
Yes,
they're your favourites.
Yes, because somebody backed that project. And I want to meet them.
I've just Google searched that. That is incredible.
It is incredible.
You can toe punt it.
Yeah, it is. What it literally says on the page is along. It's just ridiculous. It's along the lines of what would happen if Alan Partridge had met with a football boot designer and they went, "There's not enough toe pokes in today's game." And he went, "The toe is an underused part of the football boot." Well, there's a reason for that, Alan.
Essentially, it's a football boot designed on a PlayStation, and I mean like an original PlayStation.
Basically designed as a sledgehammer. It's like you could put a hammer on the end of your shoe.
And I love that Harry Redknapp endorses it because it says so much about the way he plays football.
Yeah.
Imagine someone's tweeted in reply to Harry Redknapp, imagine waking up to these on Christmas Day.
Yeah. But is it not also that the toe poke is so incredibly satisfying because it is also such a hard thing to do?
I love it. Yes, you're right.
If you just make it really easy by putting a really flat bit on the end of the boot, it's not as satisfying.
That is ridiculous. Go and Google search that now. Harry Redknapp football boots. And it's quite something. My favourite football boots, those old Adidas Predators, you know, with like the grooves on top, the old school ones.
Yeah.
I don't think they did. The proper ones.
Was it Craig Johnson that developed that, I think?
Oh, yeah. I don't think they did anything. Yeah, they look ridiculous now. They had so many grooves on the front. I don't think, did it do anything? Apparently, it was supposed to help you swerve on the free kicks and all that. Nah, it's all bollocks, isn't it?
Marketing, I think it just reduced the amount of it basically meant that you had contact in certain areas with the ball. So I imagine it would make it move in a different way. But whether that was the best way to make it swerve, I'd say is another question.
Luke hashtag MUFC on Twitter says, "How does Dave manage to watch so many football games at the same time?"
Multiple screens, I think, is the answer to that question.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I guess. I mean,
it's as good as any.
What's the best technique, guys? And how might I get multiple screens, Dave? How might I acquire an iPad?
Yeah. Go shop, haven't you?
Dave, is it multiple devices? Is it like your phone, your iPad, your laptop, your telly?
It's usually phone. Not phone, sorry. It's usually a telly with a laptop plugged into it, then another laptop. So it's like that type of thing. But eventually, I'd love to get like loads of screens with like, with one of those. Do you know one of those dishes, massive yes. dishes where you can like get into the NBC and that?
Yes, that's the dream.
That is the dream.
Those massive dishes.
I love that. That's Dave's life aspiration.
I just want a massive dish.
That'd be great.
Mohammed Klopp Osafi said, "Who are the genuine title contenders in this very open Premier League season?" Kristen, give me your four Premier League title contenders. Genuine.
Man City, Man United, you could argue Tottenham and Liverpool.
You didn't say Arsenal? Arsenal.
Yeah, I don't think they're title contenders.
Whoa. Okay.
Apologies, Arsenal fans. I just think you have to rephrase that. So I think the team is mentally weak. I don't think the fans are. I think the team
are mentally weak. Kristen went there.
I was going to say you are mentally weak, but that sounds horrible. I mean, the team I don't think is mentally strong enough.
You are mentally weak.
Incredible. Just look at the Norwich game. It's a great example. That when that result doesn't shock you anymore, that's when you know that Arsenal are stuck in a groove in that sense.
Right, let's jump back to the questions from last week, because there was lots of good questions that we didn't get quite around to. You know who wants to know? Gabrielle Woitz on Twitter. I butchered his name, apologies. Dave, let's come to you on this one. Is Paulo Dybala the next big thing? He's got Messi's approval.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
He could be. He's now hit really good form. At the start of last season, I think he scored 15 goals before January or something like that, then kind of dried up at Palermo. He didn't really want to get injured before his big move to Juventus. But no, he's really started to crack on at Juve again. He's taken in, you know, Carlos Tevez's mantle of being the Juventus' most important player. And he does look very, very good. You know, he's a very impressive footballer, very skillful with the ball at his feet, likes a good curled finish. So yeah, I think he could be the next big thing.
Mm. Back on Arsenal, Kristen, as well as mentality problems, they've got injury problems as well. Harry wants to know, are Arsenal's injury problems down to their training? Is it pure coincidence that these injuries plague the team? I mean, we had Wenger come under a lot of criticism this weekend for playing Sanchez when he was in the red zone, apparently. What do you make of their injury crisis?
In the red zone?
That's what they call it, mate. That's what I've been told.
It's a new one. I think the push into the camera pit didn't help, to be fair.
I thought that too, yeah.
I mean, I'm no doctor or anything, you know. I've only watched a few episodes of Diagnosis Murder.
That's what you need. That's all the qualifications we need on the front of thing.
I imagine a lot of the audience doesn't know what that is, but never mind. I think you can look at a lot of different things. I think perhaps the training doesn't help. I mean, Sanchez is notoriously hardworking, as an example. I know he spent his off season or his summer training on beaches in South America or something like that. I definitely admire the work ethic. Yeah. I think there comes a point. I remember there was stories about Paul Gascoigne at Italia 90 where they had to sit him down and say, look, stop doing things. You're going to kind of injure yourself, because you would want to play tennis at 3 o'clock in the morning and bizarre things like that. And I'd be surprised if it's not overworking to a degree. I think some of them are just a case of they are injury prone. Yeah. But it's something that I'm sure they'll need to evaluate. It's hard to truly give you a genuine answer without knowing the setup and the system.
Yeah, we don't. I've seen a lot of sort of talk about Arsenal's injury crisis, but no one actually knows what goes on behind closed doors. So it's hard to make any conclusions. The fact is, it happens every single season. There's got to be something going wrong at the club. I think have they got an 11 of players out yet injured?
They've got nine. That's close.
Yeah, my God.
It's largely the same core as well, though. That's where I would start to think maybe it's a you know, the idea of the niggly injury issue, that's where I start to think it could be that, because there's not been wholesale changes at that football club for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, it is also partly that Wenger, for a while, has had a type of player that he likes and certain attributes, and you wonder whether those two go hand in hand for, you know, why a player would get injured, speed, etc., pace, or a certain build.
Lawrence, Loue Morad wants to know, is Sturridge worth the effort anymore? He's got to learn what real pain is, apparently. But is he worth the effort?
Oh, God.
that's what Klopp said, isn't it? He was like, he's got to know the difference between pain and real pain.
That's when he wakes up in one of those sore dens and he's just sort of on the floor and he's like,
you'll know what real pain is.
Klopp's head adjusting his leather coat.
I would say yes, he is worth the trouble right now for Liverpool. A lot of people questioning whether he is worth the trouble. But I mean, if you look at the way that he plays, how significant he's been for Liverpool in the past, I think, you know, it's the kind of thing where if Liverpool were to invest in someone else, people would forget very quickly about Sturridge. But at the same time, I think because of the character that he is and because of the career that he's had so far and the close relationship he's had with some of the fans and why he came to Liverpool, all those reasons, I think he's worth the effort.
Here's a great question, which will probably take us to the end of the podcast. It's from Olsen Kraja. Said FIFA Pro recently published their shortlist for the World 11.
I know, we did this last week, mate.
No, we didn't.
We did.
We didn't.
We did the team.
Yeah, we didn't do it.
We did do it, didn't we?
No.
We spoke about it. We didn't do it, though, did we?
We didn't do it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
We said it was too long, Dave.
Yeah, we said we were going to do it this week.
Oh, sorry. I thought we did it.
Mate.
No, leave that in the podcast. This is what we have to deal with.
It's like a sieve, mate. Right.
Leave that in the podcast.
What is take it out of the podcast.
That's it. Keep arguing.
Listen, what is the weakest possible 11? Right. Let's do goalkeeper first. I think that sounds obvious. Buffon, Casillas, De Gea, Navas, Neuer. Surely Casillas, from his blunder the other week.
What are we saying now?
Yeah, who's the worst right now? We're going to make the worst 11.
It goes Buffon,
Casillas, De Gea, Navas, Neuer.
I pick De Gea as a 5-year-old, though, so well, I don't...
You could do that. Or what about right now?
Then Casillas right now, obviously.
Anyone disagree with that, Kristen?
Okay.
Pretty mean-spirited question.
Really. I know.
What's the shittiest team we can pick of all these top quality players?
Let's find 11 finished players.
Fullbacks. We've got Branislav Ivanovic is probably in with a shout, isn't he, at the moment. We've also got Alba, Alves, Carvajal, Alarm, and Marcello.
That is some good fullbacks.
I'd say Carvajal and Ivanovic would probably be the weakest of those.
Sure, but then you'll pick... It's like
Adam, you've got two right backs there, bro. It's not a team.
Well, that's what makes him weak at left back, mate.
I
don't know how to play here.
Shut up. That's why he's weak. Put him in left back.
Right, you want to put Marcelo at left back, Dave?
Yes, 100%. I think he's been the weakest out of the lot, but that's not really saying anything. You've got David Alaba, Jordi Alba.
Who's the weakest?
Marcelo is the worst. Is the worst left back in that group of players.
What about centre backs? Mats Hummels has had a bit of a difficult time of it this season. Kristen, would you agree with that?
I'm not sure I like this.
I see John Terry on the list, so I'm definitely picking him.
John Terry?
Yeah.
Okay, he's in. All right, I can't argue with that. Lawrence, Mats Hummels, disagreeing with that?
I mean, yeah.
You don't like the negativity of this question, do you? That
no,
I'm Olsi not... has submitted.
Yeah.
That's why we've picked you at left wing.
Right.
You're weak of spirit.
Centre midfield, Dave, you've singled out Thiago Alcantara and Yaya Toure from the midfield.
Hey, you've singled them out, Dave.
I singled them out. Yaya Toure.
What about Pirlo, mate? Pirlo's passy. He's over the hill.
Yeah, but so's Yaya Toure. People haven't realised the reason why Liverpool smashed City so badly was because of Yaya Toure's poor influence. And then you watched him this weekend against Southampton. It looked like he was wearing moon boots on at points. He just looked rubbish. He looked like he was trying stuff from the old explosive Yaya Toure, you know, bursting through, having shots at goal. And he just looked like he didn't have the legs anymore for it. And then Thiago isn't merely through level of performance. Thiago's just because he's been injured loads. When he's played, he's been probably one of the best central midfielders in world football. But the issue is he's been injured for most of 2015. And the list that we have is a joke. Xavi Alonso, Sergio Busquets, Andres Iniesta, Toni Kroos, Luka Modric, Andre Pirlo, Paul Pogba, Rakitic, and Verratti and Vidal. You see,
I see what you're saying.
It's a pretty good list.
What about you want to put in Hazard and James Rodriguez as the sort of attacking midfielders?
I've gone with Rodriguez because...
What's going on with Rodriguez? He's not having the best time himself.
He's injured, isn't he? He's been injured quite a bit, and under Rafa obviously doesn't work, and there's too many players at Real Madrid at the moment, so...
Would you say that this world runs a bit like the Arsenal team of 94-95?
Yes, the parallels are, I mean...
They're uncanny, Adam.
Yes, yeah. Finally we get to the strikers.
Couldn't comment on whether they've taken bungs or not.
They're out of
Lawrence,
this world.
Would you say Wayne Rooney is worse than Suarez, Muller, Messi, Lewandowski, Ibrahimovic, Benzema and Aguero?
I certainly would, Adam.
That he's in? And what about Benzema? Because he tried to blackmail, allegedly, Matthew Valbuena. He should probably be in there as well.
Yeah, I'd say an alleged anything makes you allegedly a bad player, doesn't it?
He maybe did it, so therefore he's in.
I mean, the fact that he may not be a football player for much longer could make that a real issue.
Now, it'll be a prison team, won't it?
our worst FIFA Pro team is Casillas in goal, Ivanovic at right back, Marcelo left back, we've got Matt Summers and John Terry at centre back, we've got Thiago Alcantara and Yaya Toure in midfield, we've got James Rodriguez and Eden Hazard also there, and then we've got Benzema and Rooney up front. It's not a terrible team, but it's not a great team either.
But if it was to play the world's best team, Adam.
Oh, and then they'd be in trouble, mate. They would be in trouble, especially you on the left wing, apparently. final question of the podcast is, do you think Hazard should continue playing up front for Chelsea, Kristen?
Yes, because they don't really have any other options unless you want to drop Bertrand Traoré in there. But I think that's not ideally the way you want to introduce someone like that into the team.
What about Radamel Falcao? He's still hanging about, isn't he?
Radamel,
if only they had, say, Lukaku, guys, who's tearing it up at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, sure.
I just never got rid of Andy Myers using the same theory.
Good point. And Graham Lasso. Oh,
Dave, I'll bring the final question to you.
Danny
Saldana said, who's making up the top four in France? PSG obviously in first. So the next three are?
Angers have got to be up there. They've kept 10 clean sheets this season. More than any other side in Europe's top five league. So defensively they look good, but can they continue their form? Maybe not. Going to go with Lyon. They struggled at the start of the season with injuries. But I think this is going to come together for them. Lacazette's going to rekindle his form. Players like Bellevue are going to be very good. Other teams, I reckon Monaco will sneak in there. They usually hit a bit of form second half of the season under Jardim. And the final team, maybe Marseille will be the final team, I'm going to say. Wow. But they have started pretty poorly. They sat their manager in the early doors in the season, but I reckon they'll sneak in.
Oh, I want to ask you a question, actually, Kristen, before we wrap up. Specifically for you.
Right.
I want to know what's going to happen in the MLS Cup final tomorrow. Is it tomorrow? Yes. Who's in there? What's going to happen? What's the situation? Give me some knowledge. Hit me with some info.
It's the Portland Timbers against Columbus Crew. It's at MAPFRE Stadium, which is the home of the Crew, because they finish better during the regular season. And if I was to predict it, I would expect the Timbers to win, because I think a lot of the playoffs in any sport in America is kind of about momentum. And they've hit theirs at the better time. And their midfield just meshes beautifully. You've got the defensive nature of Diego Chara sitting deep. Then you've got the ball carrying of Nagby. And then the beautiful kind of creativity of Diego Valeri. And it fits much better together, I think, than the Crew's trio of Will Trapp, who I think is brilliant, Tony Charney, who's that big bulking presence, and then Higuain. I just don't think Federico Higuain, the brother of Gonzalo, gives enough on a defensive end. And I think because the Timbers, just from front to back, have meshed together much smoother than the Crew, who themselves have been great this season, I think that'll be a problem for the Crew, and I think it'll probably cause them to lose in the end.
Have either of these teams ever won before?
This is the first time for the Timbers. Mm-hmm. The Crew won the MLS Cup back in 2008 when they beat the New York Red Bulls.
Fantastic. So if I'm going to put some money on, I'm going for the Timbers, you're telling me.
I would go for the Timbers, yeah. And if you're looking for a goal scorer, the obvious one is Fernando Adi, who used to play for FC Copenhagen.
I love it.
Nigerian striker.
If people want to go and follow you, Kristen, hopefully will you be tweeting about the game when it's on?
Yeah, I'll be watching it and then writing something kind of in the wake of it to kind of deduce what happened and why it happened and all that kind of stuff.
And where do they need to go on Twitter to find you?
At KHENEAGE. And I would also suggest, I've actually been able to get in touch with a number of the players and one of the managers from the very first MLS Cup back in 96.
With the restraining order?
Yes, despite that. It's amazing what happens if you just change your voice.
Hello there! What's going on? It's the truth.
You're like a Jamaican Miss Downfire there,
Kingston. What's going on?
You got some interesting articles then, Kristen, you're trying to say there.
Yes. not many on Jamaican football. I'm actually looking at the whole Iceland thing because it's interesting. You asked the question about the Premier League kids. Mm. That's something that I think was interesting to watch was in Iceland when they had the economic crisis, the sense that the money ran out of the country also meant they had to get rid of a lot of the higher paid foreign players, which meant the domestic players had more opportunity. So I'm not suggesting an economic crisis for England because I think we're arguably in one at the minute. If you perhaps change the financial structure of the league a little bit, you might see more domestic players get success then.
That wraps up the question podcast, guys. And what a question podcast it was. I have to finish off by giving a little shout out to Aliyah.
She was great singer.
Great singer and also a fan of the Front Three. She was downloading the Front Three last week for a day. She was so desperate to listen to it. She had terrible internet and it took her a whole day and she still persevered. She downloaded it and upon downloading it, she tweeted us saying, finally downloaded, I am the whole. And I just thought that deserved a little mention, the dedication.
Nice. That's really good.
Yes, thanks.
Very good dedication.
Anyway, that's the question podcast for this week. Dave, if the people want to find you, where can they go? Is it Dave Says yet on YouTube? Dave Talks Football?
It could be anything right now, Adam. It could be anything.
DOB TV?
Yeah, you know, Dave O'Brien TV at the moment on YouTube. Check it out. Subscribe. I'm nearly close to 2,000. Nothing on the Football Republic, but one day we'll get there.
Mate, we'll get there. Lawrence, where can the good people go and follow you?
At Lozcast, LOZCAST.
If you want to see the words I type on a keyboard and press enter, it's on Twitter at Adam Boltwood. If you want to go on the YouTube channel, it's the Football Republic. Thank you very much for joining us on this Saturday Q&A podcast. We'll be back on Wednesday with the regular podcast. We'll see you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.